in our military. And if you have, if you don't mind, would you just stand so we can acknowledge you this morning? Please, would you just stand? You know what? I do have a song. And you can sing with me. You don't sit down yet. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, through the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Amen. I'm back. I never thought I'd get back and coming back so soon, but God in his providence chose to make your pastor lay down in green pastures. And sometimes God has to make us do that. Now, I'm not saying that's your husband's case, but I would imagine that there's sometimes that God has to make him lay down. Amen. It's not a bad thing because in his providence, you know, God's got a plan. Amen. And so we pray that he will recover and he'll come back like a roaring lion. Amen. And so we just trust that he will do what he's supposed to do. I heard what you said, Brother Dave, that he would do what he needs to do. Amen. And he would get that rest. He invited me to come over this afternoon. I said, no, just rest. You don't need me messing with you. Amen. Just go ahead and rest. And now I get a chance to pick on his lovely wife. And Jason and his beautiful daughter-in-law and the baby, we're going to go out to lunch. And so we look forward to that. I'm back, but of course, Brown Sugar's not here. And I know you'd rather see her than me. And she told me I got a nice car that I had rented so that they could have the other car at home. And she said, you got your nice hot car. And I won't tell you the rest. She said... The woman's crazy, man. She's crazier than me. I don't know it. You know that, don't you? But in any event, I'm taking too much with the salutation here. But anyhow, she sends her love. And let's pray before I get into trouble. I'm going to sing a prayer, if you don't mind. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear our humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass us by. I'm crying, Savior, oh Savior, hear our humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass us by. Father, I come before you humbly, heartfelt, asking you, Lord, that you would please make your presence known and felt. We know that you're always with us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. But there's times when we really need for you to make your presence known. And I pray that you would do that, dear Lord, not only for us, but certainly for our pastor as well. Father, in reference to what to preach, I meant to turn that off. In reference to what to preach, I remember once Pastor Simpson once told me, sir, that the real question is, When the answer to that question is that to prepare a message is easy. The difficult part is knowing what God you would have us to preach. And Lord, I would think it would be appropriate to preach a message on Veterans Day. And God, but you know that more specifically, but you know, dear God, that and I say this respectfully in response to my brother and my friend's distress call yesterday morning, really didn't have much time to preach anything that would be considered new. Although I don't really believe I've ever preached this in entirety here at this church. And in reference, dear God, to Veterans Day and soldiers and that sort of thing, well, the greatest soldier is your son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the captain of our salvation. And Lord, I will talk to the congregation today, Lord, about why he fought the devil. For the reason for us to be able to experience the ultimate intimate relationship. And so I just need your help, Lord, to preach of this message that, Lord, I believe that you'd at least allow me to preach today. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Open with a song. Sing a medley, two verses of two songs. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning my song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which word and art and evermore shall be. Take time to be holy, speak off with thy Lord, abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends with God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting and nothing his blessing to see. Take time to be holy. And in reference to taking time to be holy, speaking in reference to our taking time to be like Jesus, because he is holy. Amen. Be calm in thy soul, each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. Amen. Once again, wasn't exactly sure what to preach, but I believe that God would allow me to preach this message. Amen. I preached it not in its entirety here before. And even if I did, I don't know if you'd remember it. I would imagine that some of you would have trouble remembering what I preached a few weeks ago. But it really doesn't matter. I really believe that this is one of the greatest messages that God has ever allowed me to preach. I know it's one that I favor perhaps more than anything else I've ever preached before. It speaks to our greatest need for every Christian. And if we don't experience this, then I believe it speaks to our greatest sin of not experiencing this relationship that God wants us to have, relationship he created us for, the relationship that he fought the enemy for, one he died for. No, Dave, you don't know exactly where I'm going. I believe it speaks to the greatest sin that any unsaved person can commit. I really do, without a shadow of a doubt. And Jason, you'll know where I'm going. Because here's why. The Bible says that he that abideth in him sinneth not. And help me out, John, professor. 1 John 3:6 said, he that abideth in him sinneth not. And as I looked at that and I studied that thing, I'm saying, you know what? This is how I see it. He that abideth in him, Jesus, sinneth not. In other words, the closer you are to Jesus, the less you're gonna sin. Let me give you another old saying. The last time I was here, I gave you an old saying that what you do with the Bible, God will do with you. Let me give you another one. Sin will keep you from fellowship with God, or fellowship with God will keep you from sin. He that abideth in him sinneth not. He that sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. I want to preach to you in a message that just recently I preached for a good friend, pastor friend. I know you like him too. Kevin Caleb. Really like that young man over at Calvary Heights Baptist Church. But anyhow, he really enjoyed the title so much that I said, you know, I think I'm going to keep that title. And the title of the message is this: the ultimate intimate relationship. You don't have to say it, but I want you to at least think about it. The ultimate intimate relationship. The ultimate intimate relationship. And I really don't. A text. What could we use as a text? Let's try this one. John 15:4. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, folks, I don't claim to be older than everybody in here, but probably most of you. Certainly not younger than most of the people here. But I've been around a while. And I've gone through some things. I've gone through good days, bad days, good times, bad times. And, you know, I've had my share of things that God uses to bring me to a place of being totally and completely dependent upon him. Now, I reject him. By nature, we don't run to God. By nature, we run away from God. I'm talking about the old nature. You know, no man seeks God on his own. God has to pursue us. Even when we're saved, we don't always surrender totally and completely to him. And he has to allow us to go through some things to bring us to that place. You know what? I really do need you. I mean, I can really do nothing without you. And you know what? I really don't even want to try anything. Have you been around that long to come to that conclusion? I'm still coming to that place. And God has to allow me to go through the shake me up and the turn me around and the ups and downs and whatever to try to bring me to that place. And I said that to say there's no greater place to be. And I know by experience to be close enough to God to allow him to live his life through you. That's the battle that Jesus fought for us. The greatest soldier who ever lived, the captain of our salvation. Jesus, when he first came, he defeated the devil, didn't he? But you know what he didn't do? He didn't destroy him. Not yet. He allowed us to enter into that battle with him to destroy the works of the devil. And it's a lifelong battle, my brethren. But one day the hope is, and the expectation is that one day he's going to conform us in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, into his image, image of his son. But in the meantime, the only way that we can be like Christ in this life is to abide in him. That is, to begin and continue to remain in close fellowship with him until he enables us to bear the only fruit his Spirit produces. Make no mistake about it. The only fruit that the Spirit produces is the likeness of Jesus Christ. His love, his joy, his peace, his long suffering, his gentleness, his goodness. Don't look anywhere else for it. Now, I'm convinced of that. Some people say, well, you're out of your mind because you're on this bunny trail about this abiding in Christ thing. Listen, regardless of, I don't care what anybody says anymore. That's a revelation that God has given me that I take very, very personally. He wants me to. And I'm going to preach it. And more importantly, I want to live. Because when I get away from that whole perspective, I'm in trouble. You talk about being out of my mind, being all over the place, unless I'm right there with him. I say that without any apology, and I would hope that, this short message, the introduction probably might even be longer than the message, and I just want to just kind of share some thoughts with you in reference to this whole concept, once again, of the ultimate. Just say it with me, the ultimate. Oh, come on, do better than that, guys. Don't go to sleep on me. The ultimate intimate relationship. That's what we're talking about today. The ultimate intimate relationship with God. In other words, there's no greater relationship that you can have. I mean, this is the apex, man. This is the high point. This is the ultimate intimate relationship that we can have with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the epitome. Now watch the ease. I'm going to use some alliteration today. If you keep taking notes, and some of you are, the first point will be the epitome. It is the ultimate intimate relationship is the epitome of all other relationships. The epitome. It's a relationship that is so high. It's a relationship that epitomizes all other relationships because it's relationships that was experienced by the Godhead. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Are you with me? 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. God help us, please. 1 John chapter 5. I believe without a doubt this is the greatest thing that you could do. Amen? It's to really, we ought to live for this. Jesus died for it. And he lives for us to experience it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. And there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. You know, these three are one. And if you don't have a KJV, you won't find that verse in the Bible. Unfortunately, man, the devil tried to erase that thing out. But it's mentioned in other places in the Bible. But I think it's mentioned here very, very profoundly. That's where you won't make any mistake. What type of relationship is this? It is the ultimate intimate relationship, the epitome of all other relationships, is the greatest relationship you can have, a relationship that God the Father, the Son experiences for themselves. These three are one. We're talking about a oneness in everything. You can't separate the Godhead. The only time that they were ever separated was the time when they agreed that Jesus would die to pay for our sin, and all of the sin of mankind for a moment would be upon him. But once that was done, you know, even in his prayer, and we'll see that in just a moment, Jesus prayed, listen, I want to have that relationship I once had with you before, you know, before I taking this sin on my life that separates me from you. Oneness in everything, in every way. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, living and working in perfect harmony with one another. The epitome of all other relationships. And God wants us to experience that same type of relationship with the Godhead. What could be more important than that? What could be any more? I submit that we should even try to work for anything more than that. And let me share with you, if you're not convinced, why I believe that way. Look at John chapter 17, beginning in verse 20. It is the epitome of all other relationships, the one experienced by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. Second point, it is the relationship that is the essence of Christianity. Are you with me? It's what Christianity is all about. It's the reason why Jesus Christ came. The reason why he was made in the likeness of men. Being even in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why did he do all of this? Why did he give up all the glory in heaven and come down in this sin-cursed world? Why did he do that? Look at John chapter 17, verse 12. Let's look first to John chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. And this is life eternal. In other words, this is what eternal life is all about, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, and thou hast sent. In other words, what is Christianity? What is salvation all about? Eternal life? It's that we might know God. In a very real and a very personal way. How real? How personal? Glad you asked. That we might be as one. That's what the atonement, the atonement is all about. Jesus goes on to talk about it here in John chapter 17, verses 20. Neither pray I for these alone. He's talking about, he's not only praying for the disciples of his day, but he's talking about the disciples that will come after them. He's talking about us. Neither pray I for those alone, for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all might be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and that the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that thou may behold my glory, that they may behold my glory, which thou gavest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare that the love which wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. I mean, that speaks for itself, doesn't it? Jesus said, listen, he prayed for us to experience his ultimate intimate relationship. And then he paid for it with his life, that we might be redeemed from the hand of the enemy, so that we might be able to enter into our inheritance. And it's not so much what God would give us, but what we have in him. God created us. He created mankind initially for the distinct purpose of mankind being able to have ultimate intimate relationship with him. And then when Adam blew it, and you would have too, God recreated us. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate that we would be conformed to the image of his Son. Why? So we might be able to experience this ultimate intimate relationship with God the Father, with God the Son, and with God the Holy Ghost. What's better than that? Vic, what's better than that? No, seriously, you've been around for a while. Come on, now some of you, you've had opportunity where you've had a foretaste of that type of relationship. Well, God wants us to live there. And it's something that we can choose to do if we listen to the right spirit. Because the Spirit of God is going to always prompt us to go there. You know, I'm at a place and just trying to get back to that place where, man, I'm when I wake up at night, I'm purposely praying. And quoting that scripture, John chapter 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth that he might bring forth more fruit. I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, or woman, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. A person, a Christian that does not abide in Christ, that does not continue to remain in close fellowship with him, is like a withered branch. Not experiencing the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness. I mean, just like a withered branch. Really, kind of good for nothing. And yeah, you know, I say this respectfully, and I say this in love, and I say this by experience, because I don't want to live there. But why do I go back there sometimes? Why do you? And if you don't, God bless you. But I don't believe you. You abide in me, and my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. How do you glorify God? That you bear much fruit. Nothing glorifies God than for us to bear the likeness of Jesus Christ. And so shall you be my disciples. And watch this. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Continue to experience my love. Continue to keep yourself in the love of God. Continue to experience that love. knowing by faith that God loves you regardless of what rascal you are today. Now, he doesn't condone your sin. But boy, does he love the sinner, especially when the sinner is one of his children. So listen, just come back into my life. Well, how do you do that, Lord? If you keep my commandments, you shall abide. Unless I forget to say this later, that's probably like a conclusion. I might come back to this, and I'm watching the clock. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide. How simple. If you want to continue to remain in this ultimate intimate relationship with him, keep his commandments. There's a lot of them, Tony. Which one? I'm glad you said that. Let Jesus answer this personally. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I kept my Father's commandments. It's an example. And abide in his love. Then he goes on to say, these things have I written unto you, that my joy might remain in you and your joy will be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that you love. Well, I thought your commandments would be holy. Yeah, that too. But this love, it trumps it. God's love. Because here's why. Somebody was preaching not long ago, and I won't tell you why. They were talking about, you know, shut up, Tony. Don't go there. So, you know, you got to be careful about talking about the love of God so much. And they were talking about the law. I said, you know, did you see that verse that says that the love of God is the fulfilling of the law? Because if you love one another, you won't backbite. You won't covet. You won't kill or wish they were dead. Love is the fulfilling of the law. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Greater love hath no man than this, that man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I tell you to do. That's a little Ebonics. He's writing it down, the Ebonics. What a student. Working in the city. Henceforth, I call you not servants, but I call you friends. For all things the Father has spoken unto me, I've made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you would go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit would remain. Well, and by the way, in case you missed the point, this is my commandment. He said it once again, that you love one another. We're talking about the ultimate intimate relationship. The epitome of all relationships that we could have. It's a relationship that the Holy Spirit of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit experiences, because these three are one. Inseparable. Can't be separated. It's a relationship that is the essence of Christianity. The reason why God created us initially and had to recreate us is so that we can experience this ultimate, intimate relationship. And not have to wait until we're conformed totally and completely to his image to experience that. We can do it in this life. As long as we choose to abide, and for some folks, well, it's not here, because I know that you KJV, you understand that as being the Word of God. In some Bibles, they don't have the word abide, but basically all it means is to rest, to continue, to remain, begin, continue to remain in close fellowship with the Lord. Close enough to allow him to live his life through us. So that we can bear the fruit of his likeness. That's the essence of Christianity. That's what it's all about. Being rightly related to God. You don't want to be around me when I'm not rightly related. I'm so full of self, man, it's sickening. It makes me sick. And ought to make you sick. Because it's grievous to the Spirit of God. Can I get an amen? We're talking about the ultimate intimate relationship, the one that epitomizes all other relationships, the one experienced by the Godhead, the essence of Christianity. And it's a relationship that Jesus exemplified in humanity. Turn with me to John chapter 14. These verses are not unfamiliar to you, and I really don't care. I'm glad they're not. Because I know that this is a Bible church, and I know your pastor, and I know he does a better job breaking stuff down than I do. John chapter 14. Boy, we can almost start. Let's start here, verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, start in verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth, or it satisfies us. And Jesus saith unto him, I have been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? He didn't even allow him to ask that question. He just told him before he could even ask. Well, he already asked, but anyhow, let me move on. Believest thou that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me or lives in me or abides in me, he doeth the works. Believe not that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Well, how am I going to do greater works than you? Tony, you have to really to take advantage of this relationship that I prayed for and I paid for you to experience. And the relationship that I'm exemplifying, I'm going to give you an example of right now in my humanity. When you've seen me, Tony, you've seen the Father. How do you say that when you've seen the Father? Well, listen, the works that I do, the things that I do, it's not me that do it. It's the Father that's doing them in me and through me. And he wants you to have that same experience with him. And if you do, you'll be able to do greater works than me because it's got a bigger body now. That's the relationship that Jesus exemplified in his humanity, didn't he? And then he explains it. It's a relationship that is the epitome of all other relationships. Point number one, it's a relationship that is the essence of Christianity. It's a relationship that is exemplified by Christ through his life. He lived a life totally and completely dependent upon the Father, the Spirit of God, his Spirit, so that the Father could live his life through him. And he's calling us to this relationship. Now, he can make us come. But in this stage in which we live in, God is sanctifying us. He's setting us apart for himself. When we got saved, we went through this whole concept of being set apart. We're in the second stage now of sanctification. Where God wants to live his life through us. What's yet to come in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he's going to conform us to his image. But in the meantime, we got to fight the good fight of faith. We have to rest in him. He said, Lord, why don't you just save me and conform me now? I believe this, that when we look back to this stage will appreciate having gone through it, because it's a part of the process of God conforming us to his image. You got that right, Jay? You're nodding. You didn't say amen, but you're nodding. Good. You're a deep brother. It's a relationship that Jesus explained as the abiding relationship. John chapter 15. I just quoted that, so I'm not going to go back over those verses. But I will emphasize a couple of them. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, as a natural branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide or continue to remain attached to the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. Depend on me. Trust in me. Be fixed, connected, cleave, cling. Say it any way you want. Trust. Stay. Because without me, you can do nothing. Why should we look for anything else other than that, just to stay close to him? Because everything that we would ever hope for and need as it relates, as it concerning the king and his kingdom. We're talking about a kingdom perspective in life. It's found wrapped up in Christ. In that relationship with him. That's where our identity is. You know this, and I have to mention it. You know, I won't mention a lot of it, but anyhow, just shut up and I'll go to something else. I'm watching the time. I struggle with my identity. I struggle with everything when I'm not focused on him. Have you ever gone that deep in your relationship where you know, man, I mean, you just know by experience, Jesus, I need you. I need you every hour. I can't live without you. I've got no direction. I've got no joy. I've got no peace. I don't have any patience. I'm all over the place. I'm just a mess. He explains this ultimate intimate relationship as the abiding relationship, and nobody does it better than he does in John chapter 15. I am the true vine. I am the vine of vines, man. All other vines that you see are just illustrations of me. It's a picture of the type of relationship you can have with me. I and you and you and me. The ultimate intimate relationship is a relationship that is epitomized, is the epitome of all other relationships. Point number one is the essence of Christianity. That's what Christianity is all about. It is exemplified by Christ and his humanity. It is explained in John 15 as the abiding relationship. Holy Spirit, if I miss something, help me. It is a relationship that he encourages us to experience. Turn with me to, you probably know where I'm going, Revelation chapter 3. Father, help me to wrap this up. Revelation chapter 3. I'm doing better than I was last time I was here, folks. Some of you, Dave may have noticed it. Eve noticed it. You're not the same. Something's wrong with you. What's wrong with you? Sydney, I didn't hear you singing, Tony. When I'm not abiding close to him, I don't have a song. Jace, you know what I'm talking about? I don't sing in public, man. I don't sing in private. But something clicked, man, when I was in front of Tops today, boy. I let it rip. And people were blessed. I wasn't trying to show off. I was using the gift that God has given me to motivate people, to encourage people. Doing better today. I'm abiding closer today. I know I am. Let that be a lesson to you. Did you hear me singing today? I wasn't showing off. I was caught up, man. You know, I said, who picked those songs? It could have been any song. Because the songs were glorifying him. Victor, he continues to try to bring me back to that place. Why don't I listen? Why do I have to go through stuff? Isn't it ironic sometimes, Victor, when he brings you there? Sometimes he'll hold you in a place where you hunger for him and thirst for him and can't get there until he says, okay, you had enough. Come up hither. You think he doesn't know what he's doing? Granted, you know, we really need to do is just rest. There's a rest for the people of God. Down here. In him. And he encourages us to experience this relationship. Even before he calls us home in Revelation chapter 3. You saw something, Jason? For the sake of time, let's go to verse 20. Was that what you were looking at? Okay, but anyhow, share with me later. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. We already understand that he's talking to the church here. We're talking to a church that he characterizes as being Laodicean in spirit. It's a church where Jesus is not ruling. He's not reigning. Where we're more concerned about our rights as opposed to Jesus' reign. And he speaks to that in the earlier verses. And for the sake of time, sake you already know, that we'll move on. Let me emphasize the point here. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, any man, woman, we say, well, he's just talking to the church. I believe he's talking not only to the church. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. To the church, he's saying, listen, I'm standing at the door of your heart and I'm knocking. Any man who hears me and opens the door and allow me to come in. Where? Into your heart. I will sup or have fellowship with him and he with me. It's a relationship that he encourages us to experience, where we allow our hearts to be a sanctuary for the Lord to be seated at the throne of our hearts. I like the way Paul puts it. God strengthened us with might by that spirit in the inner man so that Christ might dwell or abide or be at home in our hearts. Be seated at the throne of our hearts. Emphasizing, illustrating, however you want to say it, that we've surrendered our hearts to him so he can control our lives. That he might be the king of our heart. I stand at the door and knock. Do daily. Lord, I hear you knocking, but I ain't got time right now. I got to do this. I got to do that. You're not my greatest need. Him that hears me knocking and opens the door, I will come in to him. And supper have fellowship. He with me. That you might experience the ultimate, intimate relationship with him. Daily. And if you don't, not only will you be out of your mind, but you're already out of your mind. I speak by experience. No greater relationship than that. And though I can't teach you much of what you don't already know, God allowed it in his providence for me to come and remind you anyhow. How do we conclude? Let me think about it for a second. I should let Jace conclude. He did a good job last time. I stand at the door now. If you want to experience the ultimate intimate relationship with me, not me, him, a relationship that is epitomized by the Godhead, epitomized experience by God the Father, God the Son, this oneness, a relationship that is the essence of Christianity. Don't look any further for what you need to be, what you need to do as a Christian. You just need to abide in him. You need to rest in him. You need to allow him to live his life through you. So that you can experience the fruit of the Spirit, the abundant life. But that's your real prosperity and good success, isn't it? We talked about that last time. Daily. Relationship to Jesus. Listen, I'll show you how it's done. Wouldn't that be a great thing when people, and I know you've had it, so you experienced it before, where people said, you know, when I see you, Cindy, I see Jesus. I can say that about your husband. Most of the time, when I see him, I know him well enough to know that he ain't arrived yet. But I tell you what, I was very, very confident, folks, about coming just knowing that Rich was praying. Amen. What a prayer warrior.
Yes.
Most of the time when I see Rich, I see Christ. You got a good pastor. When you see me, you see the Father. If you want to experience a relationship that is defined or explained as the abiding relationship, being totally, just like the natural branch, being totally and completely dependent upon the natural vine. You want to experience this relationship that Jesus encourages us. The last thing he says to the church, I stand at the door and knock. Before he comes. You know, last thing John said concerning this abiding relationship in John chapter 2, verse 28, he said, now, little children, abide in him that you may have confidence and not be ashamed when he comes back. I had mentioned for those who are lost, who don't know Christ as a Savior, I mentioned, and I'll close with this, that the greatest sin that any Christian can commit, I believe this without a doubt, is not to abide in Christ. Is not to abide in him. Why do you say that, preacher? I say that by experience, and I understand. I realize, listen, I can't do anything without him. So why try? You'll suffer spirit, soul, and body. Christian, know that. Believe it. Make no apologies. I'm trying to motivate you, challenge you, and encourage you. I'm not just teaching you truth. But I want all of us to experience that daily. And there are some that do. You want to be in that number. I believe the greatest sin that an unsaved person can commit is not to allow Christ to abide in you by receiving him as your Savior. Because the moment you receive him as your Savior, he comes to live in you. Don't ask me to explain all that. I can't. Rich can. I can't. Maybe he can. By faith, I believe that. If he can't, he'll try to take it to another level. How do you allow Christ to abide in you? Surrender. Give your life totally, completely to him. Turn from whatever you're putting in his place and repent. That's repentance, is turning to him. Call upon his name with a sincere heart. The moment you do, he'll come to make residence in you and give you the ability to allow you to abide in him. Father, thank you for the word. Father, thank you for the relationship. Thank you for the reminder. Thank you, Lord, for your providence, for the opportunity to come by. Even if it meant, Lord, Rich not being here today. And I don't understand it all, so I won't claim to. But I thank you for the passion, for reviving that passion, and for the opportunity, Lord, to share it with specifically this portion of your body. Oh, God, I just pray that you'd have your way in our hearts, even as we reflect on some of the things that were said here concerning this ultimate intimate relationship. I pray for those who cannot experience this relationship unless they surrender totally and completely to you, that today would be the day of their salvation. And I pray if there's anybody has any question about salvation, if they won't come and talk to me while I'm here, well, they've got one of the greatest teachers that I know as a pastor of this church. And there's some great men and women who can talk to them about this relationship. And Lord, I'll just conclude with that. Knowing that you can do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask, think, pray, or say. God, help me to abide. You said, if I keep your commandment, I shall abide. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.